There's a saying in Romanian, the deeper the water, the uglier the fish. And also, you're listening to The Organist, the weekly podcast from The Believer magazine and KCRW. As you may remember, the first 10 episodes of this podcast came out of the internet once a month. They were each about an hour long, sprawling, long, rambling country estates of the mind, of the ear, cultural reporting, long-form interviews, radio dramas. But now, we're weekly. So the sprawling manor has been sliced up into nice, tidy little lots, and they come out weekly. And over the course of the month, it adds up. So this weekly drip, I think, is going to be better for you, internet. There is one wrinkle, however, and that is that every fourth episode will be a rerun, a little forgotten, or more likely very dearly remembered chestnut from the first season that you may have forgotten, or more likely dearly remembered. So this week marks our first content flourish of re-synergized energy, a wonderful piece from last year by Andrea Salenzi. And here to reintroduce it, I'm delighted to have in the studio the acclaimed British paraphysiologist and dramaturge, Sir Lawrence Dockley Winstrafe. Hello, Professor Winstrafe. Just kidding. That is obviously Andrea Salenzi herself. Hello, Andrea.
Hey, Andrew.
Andrea produced the piece we're about to hear, which originally appeared on episode 2 of The Organist. We'll talk to Andrea again at the end of the show for an update on this strange story that she brought us of why a song that to American ears is timeless, the birthday song, which anyone would guess would be a textbook case of public domain. No one can own the birthday song. It's the birthday song. It's given to you for free, your first birthday, and then given to you again every year, henceforth, until you're too old to have anybody sing to you. But in fact, as Andrea tells us, the birthday song is actually a highly contested piece of intellectual property that exists behind a virtual firewall of copyright and licensing fees. Here's Andrea.
Warner Chappell Music owns the rights to the birthday song, and they bring in about $2 million a year from it. Using it in a film can cost you an estimated $10,000. The full history of Happy Birthday to You is long and complicated, but basically around 1893, two Kentucky kindergarten teachers, the esteemed Hill Sisters, came up with the song to greet their students in the morning. That's Good Morning to All, and it sounds like...
It sounds more or less identical to Happy Birthday to You.
Because it is. After the Hill Sisters published their song in one of those old-timey school books, somebody started using it as a birthday song. And then 40 years later, which I imagine used to be the amount of time it took for something to go a little viral, it started showing up in popular culture. It was used in the very first singing telegram in 1933. It was used in an Irving Berlin musical. And that's when the kid sister to the Hill Sisters, Jessica Hill, saw an opportunity. She was able to demonstrate, with help from a lawyer, some undeniable similarities between the two songs. And then she took home the copyright for Happy Birthday to You in 1935.
So how did the song get from this youngest Hill sister into Time Warner's portfolio?
Well, she was working with a music publishing company to do all this. And that company eventually became the wholly owned subsidiary of Warner Music. So now when ASCAP collects royalties for the performance of the birthday song, that goes to Time Warner. And that's why it can cost about 10 grand to use the song in your film. And that's also why sometimes you'll be watching a show like Futurama and you'll hear this.
What day is today? It's Nibbler's birthday. What a day for a birthday. Let's all have some cake.
Aside from TV show sitcom birthday parties, though, is this a serious problem that films face, that they can't include the birthday song and so the film is compromised in some way?
The most notable example of this is in the documentary Eyes on the Prize from the 80s. They have a scene in there where Martin Luther King Jr. is being sung to on his birthday. It's his last birthday.
Some folks celebrate Abraham Lincoln, but we're going to celebrate Martin Luther King's Day today. Don't let him out of here. Happy birthday to you.
And because they kept that scene in, the film was literally pulled off the shelves. It wasn't shown on TV or released on DVD for over a decade.
All of this inspired you and the Free Music Archive to put together this contest. Tell me about your contest.
Yeah, well, we saw that there were only two options. You either go to court to challenge the copyright or you find a new song. So we took on the fool's challenge of trying to dethrone the birthday song.
Tell me about some of these songs. Let's hear some of the songs you got.
you know, a lot of them were what you'd expect. Cute kids singing.
Birthday, 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 birthday. What a surprise, what a surprise.
We also got a lot of very charming international submissions.
Congratulations to the sweetheart.
And there were a few in there that I found just incredibly touching. Like this one. Imagine all your friends just around you singing it.
Let the truth be told. You're 50 years old. Let the truth be told. You're 50 years old. You are alive. Like it or not, this is your life. Do what you want. Let the truth be told.
These are great. I want to hear more.
Well, actually, a lot of the entries were just really good songs, but would be really difficult to memorize.
Cells are still dividing to replace any cells that you've lost. And you're smart and you're alive and you can take your prescriptions as much as you need them, not more than you need them, not so you OD on them.
I actually think I will consider singing that to the next birthday celebrating person I encounter. That's solid.
That one might be a little tricky to learn, but this is the one that I want to sing to people. I've been calling it the birthday song that America's just not ready for.
I hope you have a powerful birthday, a powerful birthday. I'm gonna come. Will there be wieners? Are we gonna eat them? I'm gonna eat them.
Yeah, actually, you're right. I think that's gonna be the one I'll be singing. So, who won?
Our winner was Monk Turner, who performed the song with his regular collaborator, Alana Lynn, who goes by the name Fascinoma.
You know, I really enjoy writing music with her, and I think she feels the same. Hopefully she feels the same.
I think I almost killed him a few times.
So she's kind of like the John Lennon, and I'm kind of like the Paul McCartney. I tend to do more, like, very pop-friendly stuff.
He's got a great, upbeat, high-energy personality. I'm prone to melancholy, so then I think the combination ends up being better than the two different things just on their own.
When they sat down to write the song, they realized that they needed to come up with some kind of guidelines for themselves. First of all, length.
I actually went and timed the original Happy Birthday, depending on the singer, it was between about 30 seconds and 45 seconds.
Then they needed a memorable melody.
A melody that would be very easy for people to sing and sing out of tune.
And one more thing.
One of the music that was going to be backing it up to be kind of cool.
Yeah, so let's hear it now. This is the winning entry selected by the Free Music Archive and their panel of judges. This is It's Your Birthday by Monk Turner and Fascinoma.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's your birthday. Happy birthday.
I mean, that's undeniably a catchy tune. It kind of makes me want to buy a whole bunch of tablet computers immediately. They hit the criteria. I could hear a room full of people singing it. I already have memorized it, having heard it only once. But there's no place for us to put your name. I mean, that's the most important part of the birthday song, right?
Oh, yeah. How important is inserting the name? I don't know.
The most important part, as far as I'm concerned, you know, because that's the part that you really, it's the climax of the song. Happy birthday, dear Salenzi, you know, and everybody.
Huh.
Yeah. And so I have to ask, are you confident that you can do this, that you can topple the 1833 classic with this new tune?
Of course not. That was not the point of the contest. I mean, it's obviously to start a conversation. Like, it gets you thinking, right? Like, how important is this one piece of music? Happy Birthday might have been the very first song I ever learned. and I've sung it to everyone I've ever loved. But you have to pay a corporation just to use it. And then you start to think, oh, right, this isn't a rare thing in our culture at all. Like, think of how many times you put Mickey Mouse ears on something. That's Disney's. They could charge you for it. And Apple has a patent on a square with rounded corners. And Cadbury owns, like, a very special color of purple.
So what point does Happy Birthday to You stop costing $10,000 and become available to people to use again?
People say 2030, but there are also a lot of fearful people who say that the copyright will just get extended and extended and extended, because when it comes down to these kinds of intellectual property cases, it always ends up being who has the most lawyers. So it's hard to know if Happy Birthday will ever re-enter the public domain. So what do we have? We have this new song. And we're looking for people to use it somehow.
So if you don't have a lot of lawyers, listeners, rather than include the traditional birthday song in your film, I urge you to consider Monk Turner and Fassinoma's It's Your Birthday instead and pay not a dime.
If you can use it somehow, we'll send you the sheet music, we'll send you a CD, and we want to help facilitate this kind of use.
I think it's a noble project. Thanks for telling us about it, Andrea.
My pleasure.
The alternative birthday songs we heard today on the podcast were by E.J. Greenberg, Putzer, Alan Riley, and Fran Agnoni, as well as Romy Stott and Team Steam, and they're all free downloads, Creative Commons friendly, remixable at will at freemusicarchive.org.
Okay, we're back to 2014. So it's been about a year since we first talked about this story, Andrea, and tell me about what's been going on in intellectual property law with regards to the birthday song since then.
Well, I'm not going to take full credit for this, but since The Organist aired this lovely story and the Free Music Archive hosted the contest, a filmmaker decided to make a film about the song Happy Birthday to You, and in the process they were told by Warner Chappell Music that they had to pay $1,500 in order to do it. And now there's a lawsuit, which is obviously going to be part of the film, and it's all kind of a genius thing that we can all look forward to coming out in the future.
So the movie's working title is Happy Birthday to You. But maybe they won't even be allowed to call it that. So I guess it's a working title.
No, you can call it that because it's only when you put the words and the music together. But the words are okay. If we wanted to sing Happy Birthday right now together and just say Happy Birthday to You, Happy Birthday to You, it's only an issue if we sing it.
I see. But so if the title of the film were to be sung, if there was somehow indicated that there was a song, then they would have to pay an additional $1,500 probably.
I don't know if you can hold someone to an emoji of a song signal.
An emoji of a song signal?
How else would you indicate in a title?
I see, like little emoji
like
musical
emoji
notes.
Musical notes, and then the song title. I don't know if you can hold on.
This podcast henceforth will be known as The Organist.
The Organist.
So if you're ever talking about it in conversation, please don't call it The Organist, but use the tune that you just heard. Thanks, Andrea, for updating us on the birthday song lawsuit documentary film thing. Are you still working at the Free Music Archive?
No, I have an exciting new job. Producing a brand new podcast for Slate.com called The Gist.
Oh, when does that drop?
Cinco de Mayo.
Ah, Cinco de Mayo, El Gist on Slate.com. Look forward to that for more of Andrea Salenzi's wonderful radio producing. That is all for this week's Organist. It was produced by this woman here before me. And I also should thank Slate.com for letting us moonlight in their beautiful podcast empire studios. Thanks, Andrea, for producing today's episode.
Thanks, Andrew.
The thing about the ugly Romanian fish at the top of the show was written by Katia Apachina, a fiction writer, translator, and editor at Joyland magazine. She's almost done with her first novel. Subscribe to The Organist on iTunes. Rate The Organist on iTunes. Be The Organist on iTunes. The Believer Magazine is a physical print object magazine. You can subscribe to that at BelieverMag.com. This podcast is more generally produced by Jenna Weiss-Berman, Ross Simonini, and me, a Mike Pesca bobblehead doll in its final 12 minutes for auction on eBay. Final and additional and grandiose thanks to Gary Scott, Jenny Rattlett, and Melissa Morton at KCRW, as well as the staff of The Believer and McSweeney's. Our intern's name is Shelby L. Atmani. We return next week with brand new non-synergized content flourish. See you next week.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's a great day. That's what we say. Happy birthday.